Good morning. Well, I wish everyone a very happy new year, and thank you for being here to start off 2012. A few announcements. First, you can take your red pad, sign it, and pass it down with your name, address, and if we don't have your email yet, we would certainly like that. So if you're not getting emails from us, for some reason, we do not have it. You can sign it on the I Wish card and drop it in the offering plate, and I'll make sure that I get it and put it in the database. Next Sunday is communion, and hope you can be there for that. Deacons will be meeting Sunday, January the 8th, after church. Session is meeting this Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I'll let you read about the deacons, and Libby and Megan and Brittany are going off, and we thank them for their time served. And then the new ones coming on, and Jay and Kathy and Debbie, and we're very thankful for them being willing to serve. And if you did not pick up your Christmas poinsettias, please contact office so that you can pick those up. And a new flower list is on the back. Flowers are $15 per vase, $30 for two vases. And someone asked me this morning, the Sundays that we do not have flowers, we have some nice artificial flowers that we, arrangements that we do put out on those Sundays. The next Women's Association luncheon will be held Thursday, January the 19th. If you want to help, you can contact Linda or call the office. And that gives the what we're having. It's $8 per person, and you get a nice meal, sit down, drink, and you get to your homemade dessert also to pick out. Any other announcements that need to be made at this time?
I have a couple. I have 13 poinsettias not paid for. Don't make Bill come after you, because I won't be good at this. Actually, if you write a check today, please make sure it's 2012. The bank that frowns on is January of 2011. Also, I'm passing out contribution sheets for 2011, so if I haven't got to you before church, see me after.
Okay, checks 2012. It's easy to write that 2011 in. Any other announcements? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. On our song, Hymn of Praise, the First Noel, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 6. 1, 2, and 6.
Thank you.
And let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we worship the baby that was born in Bethlehem. We thank you for his parents and their faith. We are grateful for the salvation only Christ could bring to the world. Remind us today of his divinity, but also of humanity. Forgive us when we do not take our faith serious. Help us to be willing to reach out to others in Christian compassion. Let our light shine so others will be attracted to Jesus as their Savior. May 2012 be the year that Glenshaw Valley begins to really grow in faith, people, ministry, and love. May we move forward as a family of faith, seeking your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let's take a moment as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed, thinking about the words and thinking about our unity in faith with our unity here at Glenshaw Valley, but also with other Christians in our community and around the world. I believe. Take a moment and greet one another. If there's someone here you still don't know the name, be sure to ask them. Our responsive reading in the back of your hymn books is 672, Assurance. 672, Assurance. We could all use a little assurance in our lives, and we're glad that God is there to give it to us. 672, Assurance. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And whom He predestined, these He also called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, those He also glorified.
What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?
He will not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
But in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us.
For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, I'd like to open up this portion of the service for the pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests this morning. And I sent this out on email last night, but not everybody gets that, of course, or even may have seen it. But Nancy Teggy, one of our members, fell yesterday and broke her right arm up near the socket. And she was at Passavant, I believe, is that right? And could be going in Tuesday to see a surgeon, right? Got to make an appointment, so one day next week she'll be going in. She's in a sling right now, and she's staying over at Jim's house. And so let's be in prayer for Nancy Teggy. And then all the ones that are on the back of the prayer list, a couple of names have been added. Let's keep them in our prayers. And those that you got in the Valley newsletter also. Any other prayer requests at this time? Oh, bless her heart. She added shingles to her other problems. So Janet Hall with shingles. You said that's very painful. Yes. Lynn with breast cancer undergoing surgery. I would like prayers for my dad down in Myrtle Beach. He seems to be going through a very hard time. He's 83 and his back is really bothering him. He can hardly get around, and I think it's leading to some depression. So for my father, same name as me. Yes.
Actually,
for wife's father. Okay. For Kathy's mom, going to see a surgeon on the 3rd, and for the children's sister who's having dehydration problems. Anyone else?
I'd like to say thanks to all the prayers we received for my brother and his family and his time of need, and also for the Perlick family. They were members here, and Pete Perlick died one day this week. He was buried on Wednesday.
Yeah, Pete was only 54, I believe. And I've been talking to BJ about the death in her family. I knew Jimmy and Janetta that had used to live with him, and I had kept Janetta at my house for what, almost a year. That's a long story about that. But And I meant to send down an email about that, and then when I went to send it down, I realized I didn't have the right name, and because it wasn't Morrison, so then I forgot to send it down, so I apologize to you as a congregation for not sending an email down the list on that. Any other prayer requests? Let's go to the Lord. Let's remember our church for a good new year in all areas of our ministry, for its growth, its spiritual welfare, and for all of our families, for all of our members, that you have a happy and successful year, and that you draw closer to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we look back over the year 2011, and there were ups and downs for all of us. Some things were very good and healthy for us. Some things not so good and not so healthy. In many ways, that is in the past. And now we look forward to the year 2012. New beginnings, new starts. It may just be a date on the calendar, but psychologically it seems to do something for us. We thank you for that. There's always times in our lives that we need a fresh start, a new beginning. We sin, and we're able to come to you and lay it at your feet, and you forgive us once again. We thank you for that. You've promised to never leave us and never forsake us, to always be there. Our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our healer. We depend on you, Jesus. We depend on you, Heavenly Father. We depend on the Holy Spirit. We pray for our church, for growth, for financial stability, for spiritual awakening, for programs that will be a good fit for Glenshaw Valley. That people in our community will notice our church and be attracted to it. We'll start visiting and want to be a part of this fellowship. Help us have the courage to invite people, to welcome them, to love them into the family of faith. Lord, we pray for all those within our fellowship and our family and our friends, all those that have been mentioned, that you minister to them as only you can. That you touch their lives and they feel you and notice something different. We thank you for that capability, that your Holy Spirit will go to them and help them, minister to them, but also use us as your ambassadors for Christ, to pray with and for others, to give them a kind word, a helping hand. Whatever it is going on in their lives, to reach out in kindness and compassion and faith, to let our Christian light shine, that they'll know what the true meaning of being a Christian is all about. Lord, thank you that we have the opportunity in 2012 to love one another, to help one another, to grow even deeper in our faith, in our study, in reading our Bibles, in our time of prayer. Remind us to do these things, how important it is. And as I talk and preach about family today, remind us how important it is to hold close to our family, to love them, to share our time and our energy with them. That no amount of money or things that we purchase can ever satisfy the need for love. Remind us all of that. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, for the love that he has shown to the world, willing to come into this world as a human being, human yet divine, and to give himself as a sacrifice, the final sacrifice for all time. And we thank you for this prayer that he gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, screen song, Let There Be Peace on Earth. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Fathers, Pastor Glenshaw Valley, I thank you for the faithfulness of these people. They give of their tithes and their offerings, of their time, their energy, their prayers, their love, all the gifts that they bring, not for themselves, but they give that others might hear the name of Jesus Christ and might believe upon that name and find the salvation that is for all eternity and might find peace upon this earth. Lord, thank you for that. Bless them this day and for all of 2012. Let them feel your compassion and your love. Touch them in a special way. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We will come forward and read the scripture. Will you run the PowerPoint for me?
Happy New Year, Church of Glenshaw. And before Leonard gets too far, I'd like to thank him for the opportunity to read the scripture. Also, the opportunity to offer it to the youth of our church. As witnessed last week, we start getting deeper and deeper into our faith as we read the scripture more and more. And if you noticed how well Christian and Dominic have read, it's because they're moving further and further in their walk with Christ, and it's certainly helped me as well. This week's message is from Luke. If you remember that when we talked earlier, Luke was a doctor, he was a scientist, he believed in proof. And in this part of the scripture, it's often not overlooked. Well, let me confess, it's usually overlooked by me when we talk about the Christmas story. We talk about the manger, we talk about the angels and the kings. But this is an important part, because remember, Luke is a scientist, so he's looking for proof. And in this one, he offers some proof of the divinity of Christ. He also offers some proof in how Jesus was to be viewed, not as the abolisher of the law, but as the fulfillment. So listen to these words from Luke chapter 2, 21 through 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his hands and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people of Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be the sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and his sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at the very moment she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
First of all, I want to thank everyone for being here this morning. You may be keeping a New Year's resolution to be in church on Sunday morning. So, and it doesn't always fall that we're New Year's Eve was on a Saturday, and New Year's Day is on a Sunday morning, so that might have been kind of rough for a few of you. So well done, good and faithful servants. One man I heard about went to the wishing well on the first day of the new year. He said, "Dear wishing well, my personal wish for 2012 is a big, fat bank account and a slim body. Please don't get it messed up like you did last year." Flipped it. We all hope to have a better new year for ourselves and for those we love. Our lesson from the Gospel of Luke represents a significant time in the life of a young family. It's about a young couple who are presenting their child to God for the first time. Most of you who have children have done that. You presented your child for the rite of baptism. Luke tells us that when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This was one of the primary duties of a Jewish first century family. In the book of Exodus appear these words, "Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord." And that's interesting, don't you think? No mention of little girls here. We're doing a little better today because we baptize boys and girls. According to Leviticus 12, they were presenting their son before God, and the family was supposed to offer a sacrifice of a year-old lamb. In Leviticus 12:8, however, there is a disclaimer, and little girls make it in this time. And speaking about the mother of a newborn, we read these words, "When the days of her purification of her son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance of the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering." This is when they were still in the desert. "But if a mother cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring two doves or two young pigeons." So if you can't afford it, or if you can't afford it, you're to offer a lamb. However, if you can't afford a lamb, you're to offer two doves or two pigeons. That, of course, is exactly the sacrifice that Mary and Joseph made when they presented Jesus to God, two doves. It's challenging having a family nowadays. I read an amusing story of a father and his 8-year-old son who were lying on the grass of a riverbank, looking up at the sky and watching the wisp of the clouds float gently overhead, and I always enjoyed doing that. After a few minutes of silence, the boy turned to his dad and asked, "Dad, why are we here?" Good question, isn't it? "Dad, why are we here?" The father waxed philosophical. "It's my chance now. Talk to my son." "That's a good question, son. I think we're here to enjoy days such as this, to experience nature in all its glory, the vastness of the sky and the universe, the beauty of the trees, the songs of the birds, the rippling of the stream. We're here to help make the world a better place, to pass on our wisdom to future generations who will hopefully profit from our achievements and learn from our mistakes. And we're here to comfort those dearest to us in times of distress, to provide kindness and compassion, to support and strength, to let them know that no matter how bad a situation may seem, they are not alone." Does that answer your question, son? He looked at his dad and said, "Not really, Dad." Father said, "No? Why not?" He said, "No, what I meant was, why are we here when we were supposed to pick Mom up 40 minutes ago?" It's not easy having a family. It wasn't easy for Mary. It wasn't easy for Joseph. So let's begin with Mary and Joseph's social and economic status. Don't you think it's quite fascinating that they couldn't afford to buy a small lamb to present at the temple for Jesus' presentation? They had to settle for a pair of doves, the parents of God, if you'll think about it that way. They really must have been quite poor. Do you know that the Essenian family that is struggling to make it in this tough economic times, or making it from week to week or month to month, losing jobs, having to cut back? Assure them that they are not alone. The parents of our Lord struggled too. You're asking, why doesn't God make it easier for you financially? I wonder the same thing sometimes. If God was going to help anyone with their finances, I think it certainly would have been Mary and Joseph. Maybe there are just some things that God leaves to us. Maybe God wants us to see that there's much more to life than having things. And for parents, there's things that are more important than what you can give to your children of Nintendos or dolls or whatever it might be, material wealth. They much more need your time and your attention, your spiritual guidance, and your moral example. Mary and Joseph couldn't surround their children with material goods, but they could surround them with love and time and attention and that moral guidance. Even though he was the Son of God, remember, Jesus was a real boy, and we forget that sometimes. He emptied himself when he became a human being, and he needed the love and the nurture of a family. Every child does. Many parents feel guilty when they can't give their children the nice, expensive toys that they see other children having. I think you should only feel guilty if you're letting them grow up not being loved and not giving them time and attention and hugs and kisses. You know, a good way to start off the new year is to stop for a moment and take stock and say, what am I giving my children? What am I giving my grandchildren? So the first lesson we learn from this story is that Mary and Joseph had very few material resources. And that is how God began his redemption of humankind, at the very bottom of society, with a borrowed manger and a humble home. Jesus never did get into accumulating treasures here on earth. His friends even had to borrow a grave to bury him in. And then you notice the second thing. Mary and Joseph had no idea what lay ahead for them. God didn't give them this plan and say, well, this is what you're going to have. You're going to have a nice home. Life's going to be easy for you because you have the Son of God. I'm going to take care of every little thing for you. Didn't happen like that. You would think when we read the Christmas story that Mary and Joseph would look forward to a charmed life. After all, they were raising the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, the one who would bring salvation to the world. As Mary and Joseph offered up their pair of doves for the sacrifice, could they possibly have imagined that their son would one day be offered up as the sacrifice to end all sacrifices? Could they in their wildest dreams have seen where this happy occasion would one day lead, that the son they dedicated to God in the temple would kneel in the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat like great drops of blood? If he knew what it would require of him, the pain, to go to the cross. And yet he says, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. The biblical record is clear that Mary and Joseph could not see where God was leading their son. Neither could the rest of the family. Only after the resurrection could they comprehend it. And it even took some time then. Luke tells us that Simeon recognized immediately that this was the Christ child because the Holy Spirit told him so. And how did they react? Luke writes, the child's father and mother marveled at what they said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Talking about the mother and the father, especially the mother. Prophetic words to be spoken to Jesus' mother, and a sword will pierce your soul too. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary? to watch her son hang on the cross and die. When we bring a child in this world, we have no idea what the future may hold. We have our hopes and our dreams, our plans. We know those plans go askew. We have the same plans as grandparents. One man writes that he and his wife found their whole life turned upside down when their first child was born. And those of you who are parents and have maybe more than one child, you know how it goes, especially that first child. You know, worry about every little thing. A little piece of food falls on the floor. You know, I've talked about that before. You know, and they can't have that. By the fourth child, I'll let them have it. And then go kill them. You know? Well, the father wasn't getting any sleep. The baby was waking up all night crying. And he was getting really sleep deprived severely. You know, it affects your work, it affects your driving, it affects your mental clarity and acuity and everything about you, your whole being. So he was complaining to one of his coworkers, and they said, well, I got this book, and I used it. I was having the same problem on infant massage. So he's desperate. He goes straight to the bookstore, and he gets it. He uses it the first night. And he massages the baby before he puts him to bed. And the baby doesn't cry that night. And he and his wife are sleeping. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, the wife wakes up. And she pokes him in the side and she yells at him, "Honey, the baby's not crying. Go check and see what's wrong." You never quit worrying. There's so much to worry about and fret about when you are a parent of your own child. Even late in life, do you quit worrying about their health, their well-being, who they're choosing for a spouse, what job they take, where they're moving in the country, what's going on in their lives? No, you don't. You never quit. And there's one other thing. Both we and those we love, we need to understand that they are in God's hands. That doesn't mean life will always be smooth road. It's not. Everyone encounters bumps along the way. We get discouraged. We get hurt. Some people get bitter. But we do not give up because there is an unseen hand leading us, guiding us, helping us, touching us, loving us, giving us compassion, and saying, "I'm there for you all the way to the end until I lead you and open up heaven gates for you for your glorification at the end of your life." It's like a church that Reverend Susan Watson talks about, St. David's Episcopal Church in San Diego, California. From the parking lot, she notes a long winding path leading to the sanctuary, landscaped with trees and plants that are indigenous to the Holy Land. Walking through the olive trees and fragrant flowers, the first thing that the visitor sees is a solid, even cracked, unfinished concrete portico extending from the worship space, and the stark brokenness of the entire entry is just startling. Even more shocking is the support or lack thereof. It appears to be held up by two massive concrete pillars, but when one looks closely, the pillars stop 2 inches below the overhang. And so it appears that there is nothing holding it up. A wary guest asks, "Is it structurally sound?" And the answer is yes. It was constructed in full compliance with the laws of the state of California. But the architects intentionally designed the real support to be invisible. The entry to that sanctuary represents all the people that come to Christ broken and unfinished. And although we have many visible and tangible supports of our Christian path, such as scripture and worship and sacraments and our faith community, the last 2 inches of our Christian journey is built on faith. Faith in the things that we cannot see. Mary and Joseph trusted in what they could not see. They were like most families. They struggled with their finances. They tried their best to raise their son, but there's much evidence that they did not understand their son, Jesus. He was peculiar to them, I think. They lived by faith, that invisible 2 inches that we all embrace. They made it, and so can you and I. But we need to be rooted in the Scriptures. We need to spend our time together in worship. We need to spend our time together in fellowship with one another. And we need to spend that sacred time in Holy Communion. May God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 138, Go Tell It on the Mountain. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I hope that you're drawing closer to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in faith. I hope that you're taking time to be rooted in the Scriptures and taking time in prayer. That you're also taking time in fellowship, not just on Sunday morning, but with other Christians, praying with them. And that you're taking time and outreach to minister to others who are hurting, who are in need. And if you are hurting and in need, that you're reaching out and letting your needs be known. Go from here in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.